The reading from the Gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Luke and is chapter 12. And reads like this. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'You have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life has been demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. You know, we're moving right along for the service this morning. Let me say, God has blessed us in so many ways. Amen. In our reflection this morning, this is regarding, of course, the cultivation of contentment. And something that we discover as we talk about the word, the use of that word cultivation, right? Cultivating contentment. There is a sense of when we're cultivating something is that there is some effort been put forward. Amen? So you cannot cultivate, you know, a field without actually working on the field. Amen? Amen? Thank you. Yes. No, not possible. You cannot plant a tree unless you're intending and cultivating that tree. Amen? So the same thing happens with cultivating contentment. It's something we work at. It's something that we have to practice. It's something we have to be intentional about. So when we talk about being content, it's not simply something that happens because you wish it or because you will it. It's actually something that happens because we work at it. Amen? And that's exactly what this lesson today has been all about. When we talk about cultivating contentment, it's about cultivating a discipline of being content with what we have, being glad with what we have, and looking doesn't mean that we don't look for greater things and aspire to greater things. It means that we're content with what we have because we are grateful to God for the things we have in our hands at the moment. You know, when I was thinking about this sermon, I had a conversation with a gentleman who was at the service, funeral service on Thursday for Dan Jordan. And this is one of his best friends who lives in the Carolinas. And he was talking about his experience of how he lives right in the pathway of the hurricane when Florence Pass was passing by or passing through. As his wife was saying, you know, thank God it was just a Category 2. If it had been a larger category, it would have been just, you know, the most terrible thing that happened to the Carolinas. But even then, they were sharing the story of how they passed, the hurricane passed, and wreak havoc, as you all have heard about the stories. But one of the things that they were mentioning was how the next door neighbor, their house was completely destroyed, even though, and thank God, they were not at home. They actually were one of those families who actually left to be with family someplace else. It was a great thing because, of course, the house was actually completely destroyed. But the house of this couple that I was talking to received minor damages. Minor. They said, Nobody can understand that. I mean, nobody makes, that doesn't make any sense, right? And so it made them think about the idea of what is important in life. Something we were discussing this morning in grow time was precisely that idea, but what is important in life? You know, one of the examples I was giving in the grow time class was about the idea, what would you take if you only have 8 minutes or 10 minutes to leave your house with something? What would you take? And in the video that the class saw this morning, they were looking at some of the things that people will take. The first picture was the best one. Would you agree? The best one was a child with a pillow. That was the thing that he grabbed. It was the most important thing, a pillow. And then there were other people who grabbed other things. Those were the most important things for them. But in all things, as with the example of the couple who came from the Carolinas, was the idea that they realized that everything else, everything that they possess, is just a thing. Life is what is important. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
And so cultivating contentment, it means to really look for what is important in life, to really focus on what is important in life. And that's what the lesson for today is all about. There are four keys to cultivate contentment. And I know that there is a handout that you probably received, I'm hoping you received, that has these listed. Doesn't have a description, it just simply is a list. And in the back, you can actually, in the back of the handout, you can write whatever you feel called to. But let me give you the keys for this idea of contentment, how to cultivate contentment. And this comes from an understanding of what Paul talks about in Philippians. In Philippians 4, Paul says, "Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need." Paul shares his own experience of what it means to be content. And contentment that comes when we are in a personal relationship with God. Contentment that comes when we know that the important thing, the real crucial thing in life, is precisely that relationship with the divine and the relationship we have with the people around us. Like Paul, we learn to be content in whatever circumstances we may find ourselves. And these four keys, I think, help us to focus on that. The first key is, repeat four words. Repeat four words. It could be worse. Amen? You know what I'm talking about, right? Every time you look at somebody next to you and you are complaining about how miserable things are, and then you look the next person next door and you realize it could be worse. Amen? Yes. John Utterberg, a pastor in Menlo Park Presbyterian Church in California, says there are four words we should say whenever we find ourselves discontent with something or someone. It could be worse. This is essentially the practice of looking on the bright side and finding silver lining. It is recognizing that no matter what we may not like about a thing, a person, or circumstance, we can always find something good to focus on, only if only we choose to do so. It is indeed a choice we make. It could be worse. Key number two. One question to ask: how long will this make me happy? You know what I'm talking about. You know, you buy that last new cell phone, you knew you could not live without it. or you bought that computer you thought you could not live without it, or you bought that car you thought you needed to have because, of course, it's the most important thing right now for you as you travel and so on, or whatever it is. But as when we purchase our phones, it was a family event, let me say that, and it was the best phone that we could ever have, which is the one I have right now, which is old already, is ancient for some people. But it's one of those smartphones that I thought it was a great thing to have. And the joy lasted as long as when you open the box and you see the thing and you say, oh, wow. And that's the end of the story, right? And you start, playing with it and whatnot. But, the joy or the happiness disappears very quickly. And with many things in life, indeed, the same thing happens. So how long will me purchasing this item or acquiring this item, how long will my happiness long? Especially when we realize that our happiness or our enjoyment in life is based on actually connecting with God. Third key, develop a grateful heart. Gratitude is essential if we are to be content. The Apostle Paul said that we are to give thanks in all circumstances in 1 Thessalonians 5. A grateful heart recognizes that all of life is a gift. Contentment comes when we spend more time giving thanks for what we have than thinking about the things we do not have. Indeed, we can spend all of our day giving thanks to God for the things we receive. For that, as Pastor said this morning, thank God for the sunshine. Amen? And when there is rain, we thank God for rain too. Not in the immediate future. We're hoping it's going to let us last a little bit longer. But you know what I'm talking about. The fact that we can give thanks to God at every moment of our lives and spend all of our day giving thanks to God for all the things we have and have received. Key number 4. Where does your soul find true satisfaction? The world tells us that we find satisfaction in ease and luxury and comfort in money. The Bible, however, answers this question very differently. From Genesis to Revelation, it tells us that we find our satisfaction in God alone. As a matter of fact, as St. Augustine said many centuries ago, God made us for God's purpose. And our souls will be restless until they find their rest in God. Indeed, the only place where we find rest is when we find God in our lives. And I'm just to say that the fact that God is already present is a matter simply for us to recognize God's presence in our life and how do we honor that God who is present already in our lives. Psalm 63 says, O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My soul is satisfied with a rich feast. And my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we read, whatever my eyes desire, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. Then I consider all that my hands have done and the toil I had spent in doing it. And again, all was vanity and a chasing after wind. And in Matthew, Jesus reminds us about what are the important things in life. The important things must be to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. If we keep our focus on these two things, we will find satisfaction for our souls and lasting contentment. When we think about these 4 key points for cultivating contentment, that also goes attached, it goes together very well. It goes without saying, it cannot be separated, that we also need to find simplicity, simplifying our lives. And there are five things that I will encourage you to think about as we consider simplifying our lives. The first one is set goals of reducing your consumption and live below your means. This is something that the class, the Grow Time class, was talking about. It was a wonderful conversation that we're having. You know, but one of the things that came up in the class for 108 and 109 was precisely the idea of living below our means. Sometimes in our society, regrettably, encourages us to go beyond our means. And as we have been talking about this in Financial Peace University, we hear all the time in how people live above their means. And so since you don't have enough, then you go and use your credit card, right? And you charge it so that you can actually get the things you want, even though you cannot have them. And of course, the second question goes to, do you need them? But that's something we'll keep talking about in this conversation later on in our study. So set tangible goals to reduce your personal consumption and the production of waste in your life. One of the things that I hear all the time, and something that my wife has taught me a lot, is the use of canvas bags for shopping. Going to the supermarket and buying things and just bringing our own bags as a way of reducing, of course, the use of plastic and the wastefulness that comes from that. But we could also buy the new car, and with the new car we purchase, to buy a car that is actually more fuel efficient, that will have less of an impact in our environment. For we are indeed stewards of our environment. Amen? So taking care of not only of the things around us, but, you know, taking care of our homes and our families and so on, and also of the environment, is part of our calling as children of God. We can find other ways to reduce consumption. You can do more research. Check it out. Talk to people who you know probably know more than you do and more than I do. And find ways to reduce your consumption so that you can live below your means. Second step in simplifying our lives, before making a purchase, ask yourself, do I really need this? Why do I want this? Something that Mike Boyd was saying this morning in the class was, you know, he went to and purchased something and he held on to that 24 hours. Just said, is that the key, 24 hour, Mike? You hold on to that and you know, do I really need this? Do I really need to have this thing? Something to that effect. Ask the questions. Sometimes we realize that we don't need the things we purchase. Amen? And I'm not even talking about, you know, the compulsive buying, right? It's just simply sometimes you say, you think you need something and then you get it and then you realize you really don't need it. It is so much like that we find that even sometimes people just go out, buy something, and put it in the storage, thinking that they're going to use it, but never use it. Third step in simplifying our lives, use something up before buying something new. I mean, that seems so simple, right? And how many times have you bought something and never wore it? May it shoes, may it be shoes, or maybe your, you know, a piece of clothing. How many of you have seen when you go to, if you have ever visited the thrift shop or Goodwill store, and you go and find that you pick something from the rack, and you find that the item you are taking actually has a receipt, the tag, because it has never been worn. So it was bought, but never worn. Let's be mindful about that. And so instead of buying things we don't use, let's buy the things we do. My wife says, And you know, hopefully she will not feel that this is I'm you know, putting my finger and pointing to her. But my wife is a wise woman. And although I tell her this all the time, it's always good to say it in public. She's a very wise woman. And one of the things that I've learned from my wife is that she says, when it's time to clean the closet, my closet specifically, she says, you know, we usually do this, and we whatever we have that we don't need or use, you know, we give it to people who might need it, right? And she says, well, when you're done with the stuff you use, nobody wants it. Not even the poor wants it. And I have to say that I'm, yeah, it's true. I try to wear my stuff as, you know, as to the ground and then some. But it is an important thing, again, because it's also something that helps us with our, with living simply, to be content with what we have. For again, the beauty of life is that life is beautiful. And we have been blessed with a wonderful life in most cases. Fourth step, plan low-cost entertainment that enriches. Something also that my wife has been really good about, planning events and activities for the family that are low-cost, but a great blessing to our family. And things that are simple, like, you know, playing games at home instead of having to buy something so that our children get entertained or you know, or whoever comes to comes home to be entertained. There are many ways we can do things that do not cost an arm and a leg so that we can entertain the people we love and care for. Step five, ask yourself, are there major changes that will allow me to simplify my life? Are there major changes that will allow me to simplify my life? Have you considered downsizing your home? And I know some of you have done that. Have you considered canceling a club membership you do not use? Or selling a car to buy a new one that you can actually pay in full? Ask yourself the question related to your home, possessions, job, activities, to identify some significant changes that will simplify your life. Remember, if you cannot do all the things God is calling you to do, and you are unable to find joy in your life, perhaps it is time to simplify in some major ways. Indeed, let me just say it again, as Luke says, as Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, for us, it's important to realize that it's not how much we have, but it's how do we relate to this God whom we care about so deeply and profoundly. There are some things we learn, and I, again, you know, if you want to write things down, let me just give you some choices we can make and three questions to follow. What are the long-term consequences of my actions? When I'm about to take an action, what are the long-term consequences of those actions? Is there a higher good or a better outcome if I use the resources, time, money, or energy in another way? Is it possible that I can use my time, resources, money, energy, in a different way? And last, but the most important one, will this action honor God? With this action I intend to take, honor God. You have been blessed. We have all been blessed with so much. And in so many ways in which we can honor God with the things we have and the things we have been given. Let us think about how can we honor God with our possessions, with our time, with our skills, our abilities. And let's seek to honor God in a way that we know will bring glory to God and benefit our brothers and sisters in this world.